I was sitting there and I was processing all that. She's right. Emily is Trey's the baby, isn't he? Is that right? I told you. Yeah, she's right. Emily's older. Yep. So I'm glad the Lord allowed me to get that all straightened up before we try to preach, because it would have been miserable. So even if she's not right, I just want to say that. No, she's right. And as you can imagine, it's been a whirlwind. It's been an absolute whirlwind. So open your Bibles tonight, please. I hope to teach you something I think will be an encouragement to you. It was really an encouragement to me when I came across it. And when it comes to sharing the gospel, you know, and oftentimes, I mean, as a pastor, you get asked all kinds of questions from your church family, from those, you know, even not just church family, just to people that know Christ or Savior. And when it comes to being a witness, when it comes to being a soul winner, and what should you do, and how should you do it, and when should you share the gospel? Well, I'm going to show you some things tonight I really believe it will help us to really kind of really focus in on when we should do it, why we should do it, you know, how we should do it. And we're going to illustrate it through a portion of Scripture that's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And I'll be honest, Miss Rhonda, when I was preparing for this, it reminded me of Neil, because there wasn't one time I wouldn't preach on this and Neil would always talk to me about this passage of Scripture in the book of Acts. He loved this story. And so I hope it will be an encouragement to you as well. Acts chapter 8, and we will start our reading here. It's a tremendous passage. We'll start in verse 26. So if you found your place, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. And we'll just back up one verse, and we'll start in verse 25, because it really kind of sets the context of, I mean, revival, man, has broke out. It has broke out, and people are getting saved. Multitudes of people are trusting Christ. And, of course, Philip, who was the deacon of the church at Jerusalem, he was one of their deacons, and he's part of this borderline crusade, you know, where hundreds, if not thousands of people are giving their life to Jesus. And then all of a sudden, right in the middle of that, God Almighty works on his heart and he wants him to leave the crusade, if you will, and head south and go to a place where there's just going to be one person. What a perfect song, Katrina, you sang tonight. I love when God just puts things together, don't you? What a perfect song to really go hand in hand with this text here of Acts chapter 8. Look at verse 25. And the Bible says, "And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south." Let me pause for a minute. That's a good word right there. Right, Joe Creek? Arise and go to the south. Oh, that has set somebody free tonight, I'm sure. "Unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And notice his obedience. So we see the call of God. I mean, the revival has broke out. You say, how do you know revival broke out? Think about something. They're testifying to the Samaritans, Brother Joe. They're telling the Samaritans that they need Christ. They're telling the Samaritans, who were often looked down upon by both the Jews and the Gentiles, as being not pure people, right? Not fully Jew, not fully Gentile, kind of a mix. And they were looked down upon, so, but yet revival has broke out and they're taking the gospel serious and they're testifying to them. And no doubt people are getting saved from all kinds of walks of life. And the Bible tells us, so Philip, the Holy Spirit of God, presses upon his heart to go south and go down to a region, and he obeys. The Bible tells us, verse 27, here's a little verse that's a great verse of what do you do with God speaks your heart. What do you do with the will of God? Notice what he does. "And he arose and went." That's a good word. He didn't argue about it. He didn't wrestle with it. He just went. He knew God called him, so he went. And the Bible goes on, "And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet." Now there's a lot that has just been said there. So here he is. So Philip, he's going to meet up with this man. He's a powerful man. He's got the charge of, you know, the treasure, if you will. He has a lot of power. He's a religious person because he knows that in Jerusalem is a place where, you know, he's heard that men ought to worship. And so he's got a copy of God's word. He's sitting in his chariot and he's reading the book of Isaiah, a portion of scripture from the book of Isaiah. It's important also to understand that when we talk about that he was sitting in his chariot reading the Bible, you need to understand something. He wasn't reading a Bible as far as the complete canonicity of scripture. He was just reading a portion of it. But here's a good thought. Aren't you thankful that anywhere you cut this, you'll find Jesus? Right? Anywhere you cut it, you'll find Christ, because Jesus Christ is absolutely the central theme, the most prevalent theme throughout the Word of God. It's Christ. It's Jesus. The Bible goes on. In verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Join thyself to this chariot. Uh-oh. It's okay, God, I'll go south. Okay, Lord, I'll go south. There's a man. Oh, by the way, Philip, I want you to go get into that man's chariot. Go talk to that man. Ooh, that's tough, right? Wait a minute, you mean I got to talk to people? Yeah. You got to tell people. You got to share Jesus everywhere that you go. It's God's calling on our life. If you know, you say, well, great. That's right, preacher. You're a preacher. It's a call of God on your life to tell people about Christ. You need to understand something. The call of God on my life to tell people about Jesus has nothing to do with me being a preacher. Has everything to do with the moment I repented of my sin and placed my faith and trust in Christ. He changed my life. He saved me. He born me again into his family and kingdom. That there, friend, is your authority to go. That's your authority to go. And he goes on. Look at this now. Verse 30. Here's his response again. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Father, we love you. We pray that you bless the reading of your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the powerful scripture here. We thank you, Lord God, for the joy we have of preaching this great text. I love preaching this passage, Lord. It was a blessing. It's been a blessing to me, my whole ministry. It was a blessing to Brother Neil Moon. And Lord, we always talked about it anytime I preach on this text. So, Father, I love you, and I thank you, Lord, for the memory of Brother Neil and his friendship over the years that he was to me and this church and his family, Lord, that misses him dearly. But, Father, we thank you, Father, for the gospel, and we thank you, Father, for the joy of knowing the promised reunion, Lord, for those that have repented and trusted you as Savior. There will be a reunion one day with all of our loved ones that have died before us. So, Father, bless our time in these next few minutes. Allow us to learn a little bit more about you and allow us, God, to take a little bit more serious about this message of the gospel, Lord, that we've been entrusted with. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we're going to talk about sharing the gospel. So we're going to talk about it from the perspective, I mean, Pastor, yeah, surely the gospel is something that we share on Sundays. You're right. We preach it every Sunday morning. I promise you, I don't care if you're in a Sunday school setting. I don't care if you're in a worship service setting. I don't care if it's a Wednesday night, a Sunday night, a Sunday morning. I don't care if we're having a special revival service, whether it's a night during the week. I don't care if it's a vacation Bible school, teen conference. I promise you this, you will hear the gospel in every one of those venues. You'll hear the gospel in every one of those settings, every one of those environments. You will hear the presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I say this, we say that unapologetically. Without hesitation, we tell you that we make a big deal about the gospel. Let me tell you why we make a big deal about the gospel. Because God and his word makes a big deal about the gospel. Does he not? Can I get a witness? God and his Bible makes a big deal about the gospel, which is the gospel, of course, we know it's the good news, but in specific terms, it's the good news regarding the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. That gospel message, by the way, friend, that is good news. It's good news that Jesus died for your sins. That's good news. It's good news that Jesus was buried for you because of your sin. It's good news that Jesus rose again. 3 days later, can I get a witness? It's wonderful news. We serve a risen Savior. Can I get a witness again? He's alive. He's no dead Savior in a tomb somewhere that sometimes Discovery Channels try to tell you they've dug it up and they found his bones. I promise you this, they'll never find his bones. And the reason they'll never find his bones, when Jesus resurrected, he came out. Get this, he came out bodily. That's a big deal. That's a tremendous, you got to understand that. He didn't come out just simply as a spirit. He came out bodily, and that's important. Notice some things here about this text. So, what do we do with it? What do we do when we talk about sharing the gospel? Why is it important? What's so the significance about this? So, I'm going to give you three little words that will help us to kind of, and to be honest, I don't know where I've got this. I don't know what. It might have been Dr. James Merritt. I might have heard him say something about this. But I love these three little words that really allow us to focus in on the seriousness of sharing the gospel. So here they are. Let me give you a way to understand how you should do it. How should you share the gospel? Here it is. You should share the gospel with anyone, anywhere, and anytime. Anyone, anywhere, and anytime. I want you to chew on that for a minute. I want you to understand that it's serious business. See, friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, he saved us. If you're born again now, he saved us to be a witness. You say, wait a minute, Jesus saved me to take me to heaven when I die. Listen, friend, that's a benefit of salvation. What a tremendous benefit and blessing that we have heaven, the promise of heaven. Just this last week, I got a phone call from Kathy, the director of Rudy Funeral Home. That's the center line, Rudy, right? Rudy? I get them confused, but yeah, I think it's Rudy Funeral Home. They're on Van Dyke, just south of Ford Funeral Home. She was, Pastor Harold, I really need your help. And I was like, yeah, what's going on? She said, well, I've got a funeral. She said the mom is a Baptist by her own lips, and they want that kind of a funeral. I said, okay, sure. I said, I'll be more than happy to come and do that. And I try to do that. It's a blessing to me. You know, it really is, because it gets me in some, perhaps families I don't know, I've never met. And so I did that. But here's the backstory of it. The sad story was, it was a 24-year-old man. 24-year-old young man. And sadly and tragically, it was heroin. He said, Brother Tracy, why are you telling us that? Steve, you know us better than anybody. It's epidemic, isn't it? It's absolutely epidemic. Lieutenant Clesio back there, Warren Police Department. It's epidemic. Drugs are epidemic. It's touched my family. No doubt it's touched your family, my sister, meth. And I mean, you name it. You picked a drug. And you said, Pastor, why are you telling us about drugs and telling us, trying to tie this together with this sermon? I've done funerals for babies. I've done funerals for 100-year-old men, 102-year-old woman, 100-year-old man. I've done funerals of 24-year-old young men. Here's what you need to understand. There has to be an urgency to our message. We have to have an urgency about sharing the gospel. You have to have an urgency. There's got to be an urgency. Pastor, yeah, but I'll share it with them tomorrow. I'll share it with them next week. I'll share it with them. Revival's already hit, Danny Lambert. Oh, you bring me some water. Oh, man, I was almost done with this sermon, so I've got to preach another 15 minutes. Don't tackle Danny. Thank you, brother. I really appreciate that. Share the gospel with anyone. Wait a minute, preacher. There are some people that are antagonistic towards the gospel. You're right. I used to be somebody that, before God saved me, I used to make fun of Christian people. You've heard that story. You've heard me tell you that. I was raised in a Christian home. My grandparents, they were believers. My aunt and uncle, they were believers. There were many people in my family that were born again believers, but I wasn't saved, and I had the attitude that I'll get saved. I promise you, I used to say, I'll get saved when I'm older. After I've lived my life and had my fun, I'll get serious about this God thing when I'm an older person. But you know what? I'm grateful. I'm grateful that God, in my ignorance, He intersected my life, and He saved me as a 16-year-old kid. You see, I remember when I was a teenager, I used to think, like Toby. The other day, I was like, "Oh my goodness!" I wonder what's Toby think of me. But the other day, Toby said, "Yeah, Dad, I was talking to somebody." He says, "I'm talking to this lady," and I quote, "He said, she was a lot older." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, she was in her 20s," and he was dead serious. He was dead serious. "She's a lot older, Dad. She's in her 20s. I'm like, "Come here and let me punch you, kid. Do not put this on recording. We have our home study tomorrow." Strike that from the sermon. Just a joke. Anyone, share it with anyone. You know why? Share the gospel with anyone. Here's why. Because everyone needs Jesus. Everyone needs Christ. You never know how God, and we know the context, we know the story. This man, this Ethiopian man, is by himself. He's sitting in his chariot. He's got a portion of God's word. The prophet Isaiah, he's reading a portion of it. And here's something you got to realize. He doesn't even understand what he's reading. He just knows, I really believe that he knows that there's something to this book. There's something to this manuscript that talks about who is this prophet? What is he talking about? Who is he talking about? He's kind of inquisitive. He's kind of, you know, I believe he's searching, and he's kind of, you know, there's something to this Bible thing. There's something to this message. There's something to it. So Philip, he listens to the Holy Spirit of God. And here's something else you got to realize. You say, "Pastor, yeah, but my goodness, that was back in the first century, a chariot. Man, God would never do that with me." He may not lead you to a chariot, but he may lead you to a Home Depot to tell somebody about Jesus. He may lead you to a beauty shop to tell somebody about Christ. He may lead you to a restaurant to tell somebody about Jesus. He may even allow you to build a relationship with a DHS worker to tell her about Jesus. That's the kind of God that we serve. He may allow horrific situations to allow you to be a part of, with a murder trial, to allow you to perhaps tell a detective or tell an ATF agent or tell somebody else in the court. Who knows? You say, "Preacher, you really believe that God can do that?" I know he can do that. I know he can do that because that's how much he loves mankind. God loves people more than anything. Anyone, anywhere, anytime. We go on. Let's just kind of walk through this passage just a few minutes. We'll make some application. And I really hope God will arrest our hearts with the urgency of this text. Verse 30 again. "Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And said, Understandest thou what thou readest?" Philip asked the question. One of the most effective ways of being a soul winner, I warn you, please don't do this. Don't run at people with the law of God and tell them everything that they're doing wrong in their life. They're going to tune you out. My pastor taught us years ago. He said you have to use contact. He said you have to use tact. How's it go? Tact to make contact. That's what you're saying. You have to use tact to make contact with people. And that's true. Don't be rude. If you're going to tell people about Christ, personal thing, let me give you a personal advice. Don't smell like you haven't taken a bath in 4 months. Deodorant is a good thing. Teenage boys. Whew. I mean, present yourself well. You say, "Preacher, come on, what's the big deal?" You represent Jesus. You are representing Jesus Christ when you go tell someone. Now, I do know there are occasions where I've and this happens a lot, you know, when you're going to run out just for a minute. Does this ever happen to you? You're going to run out. You're going to leave the house just for a minute. You're going to run up. I've been at Home Depot. You're going to run up to Home Depot. You look horrible. You got your stained shirt on. Your hair's a mess. You got your gym shoes on. And you say to your wife when you leave, I'm just going in and out of Home Depot. Nobody's going to know me. What happens? You see six people, and one of them is yelling across the building, Pastor Tracy! And you're like, right? It's a given. It's going to happen. When you look your worst, chances are you're going to see somebody that knows you. But you know what? You never can imagine how God can open up a conversation with people that you've never met in your life. That happened to me today. I was in Home Depot, and I was getting some lumber, and there was a gentleman there, and he was putting together an order. I didn't realize, but he worked for Home Depot. He didn't have a shirt on, but he was working for Home Depot, and struck up a conversation, and he had a Marine hat on, Tracy. He had a Marine hat. I said, oh, man, and he helped me get a few things. I said, oh, man, thank you so much. I said, oh, you was in the Marine Corps. He said, yes, sir. He said I was in 8 years. He said, I served 4 years in active duty, and I think reserves for the other four, I believe, or something, total of 8 years. And I said, wow, man. I said, that's awesome. I said, thank you for your service. And you know, we just kept talking. Just struck up a conversation. Just kept talking to him. And long story short, I talked about Sarge. I was telling him about how we honored Joseph Miracle and his mother and told him that story. He goes, man, preacher, that's right. And I told him I was pastor just up the road. And I said, man, our church loves. I said, they love military folks. And I said, God has really gifted us and gifted some of our people to really help veterans. And I told him about Tracy. I said, one of our members started a nonprofit, you know, City of Refuge. And I said, really is a strong emphasis of helping veterans. And I said, here's the thing. I mentioned Kelly Collegio. Just the different resources that God's allowed us to put together and brought things together. And I said, man, if we could ever help you, I said, please let us know. He goes, where are you, Pastor? And I told him, and long story short, we just kept talking. And when I mentioned Joseph Miracle, he said, preacher, he said, I was in Iraq. I thought he said several times, several different deployments. And he said, I lost a lot of friends over there. He said, but I also, and this is sad, he said, I also, preacher, he said, I lost a lot of friends after I got home to suicide. And I said to him, I think his name was DeAndre or something like that. I was trying to remember. But I said to him, I said, yeah, I said, sir, I said, I saw a statistic. They said, on average, 22 veterans take their life on a daily basis, commit suicide, that have served in the military, 22. So it's epidemic. And you know, you say, Pastor, what's your point? I talked about Christ and, you know, how Christ has changed my life and all that. And that was at Home Depot. And to be honest, I was in a rush because I had to get some material, and it was getting ready to storm, son. But I promise you, I was like, man, I need to get out of here. But I really should believe it's just the Holy Spirit of God opening a door and just pausing for a minute to who knows, if anything, maybe just love on that guy. He said, preacher, I said, you know what? He said, I went back to college. I said, man, I'm proud of you, bud. He said, yeah. He said, I'll graduate from Macomb. And he said, with my GPA, I should be able to get into, I think he said, Wayne State and like an engineering. And he's a grown man. I'm a grown man. I looked right at him in Home Depot, and he's up on a ladder with a big old thing of 2x4s and plywood. And I said, hey, DeAndre, I said, I want you to know, man. I said, I'm proud of you. I mean that. He goes, thank you, preacher. He said, that means a lot to me. I said, no, I am. I said, you got out of the military. I said, now you're trying to better yourself. And then that quote, he says, preacher, he said, all my family, he said, we're from Alabama. And he said, to be honest, his words, he said, Pastor, to be honest with you, he said, there isn't a whole lot of male influence in my family that are positive role models. And he said, in his statement, he goes, I love this. I use this phrase all the time. He said, preacher, he said, I'm trying to break the cycle. Wow. Go God. He said, I'm trying to break the cycle. I said, man, God will use you to do that. He said, preacher, why are you telling us that? God can allow himself to be present even in a Home Depot when you're talking to somebody. He's an amazing God. And that's why you've got to be prepared to share the gospel anywhere, anyone, anywhere, anytime. He goes on. So Philip says, understandest what thou readest? Look at this. This is tremendous. And he said, verse 31, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Wow. You know what this is called? This is what is often referred to by preachers. This is a divine appointment by God. God has orchestrated this, and this is a divine appointment. Now, when somebody that the Holy Spirit of God is working on, it is interesting to trust in Christ our Savior. When God orchestrates it and the Holy Spirit of God is working, and that person looks at a preacher and says, a deacon, he knows the Word of God, he looks at him and says, when Philip says, understand us what thou readest, he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And then he invites Philip to come up and sit in his chariot. And you know what Philip does? He goes up and sits with him. He takes time out of his schedule to sit with this man and expound the Word of God to him. And the Bible goes on, verse 32. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And notice, that's the text. That's the passage. It's quoting from Isaiah, the prophet's writing. A prophet who wrote, if my memory serves me correct, who wrote about Jesus some 800 years before Jesus even came. And the eunuch is saying, and look what the eunuch does. So the passage of Scripture is that passage you just read. It's a portion of Isaiah. And then this Ethiopian man says to him, in the verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? That's like saying, sick him to a bulldog when you have a soul winner near you. You start asking Bible questions. Who's this man talking? Is he talking about himself, Mr. Philip? Or who's he talking about? Or is he talking, get this, or is he talking about some other man? Look at the text. I'm telling you, this passage will make you shout, even if you're not a shouter. Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. And preached unto him Jesus. See, friend, Jesus may not be mentioned by name, the name Jesus in the Old Testament, but he's there. He's all over it. So Philip says, the eunuch says, what does this mean? Lamb dumb to you, he opened his mouth, humiliation. Who is it? Is the prophet talking about himself or is he talking about somebody else? And Philip says, let me tell you who he's talking about. He's talking about Jesus. And the Bible says he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I wonder what he talked about. I think I really do know what he talked about. Let's just read the text and we'll make a few points here. Preaching them Jesus, verse 35, verse 36. And as he went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, look at this. I believe. This is now. He's going to profess that Jesus is his Savior. He says, and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Why do you think he's saying that now? Because Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And when he shared Jesus with him, I believe he also shared the importance of baptism. Baptism has no saving power, but baptism is an identification. You are publicly demonstrating and preaching a sermon that you now identify with Jesus Christ and his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So as they're journeying, they're going a little further, and he sees water, much water. He sees water, and he says to Philip, here's water. And he says to Philip, he says, What does hinder me? To be baptized. And Philip says, look at this. If thou believest, verse 37, with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll just, very significant, you might have missed it. The Bible says that Philip, he opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You have those today that say, oh, I'm a preacher, I don't really talk to people much, but I'm just trying to win people with my life. You'll never do that. You'll never win them to Jesus with your life. Now listen, your life is an important tool that God uses, but you got to be aware and you got to understand something. God saves people through the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've got to share the gospel with them. Yes, your life is important. Yes, you ought to be a witness. Yes, you ought to have a life that absolutely declares that your life is different. Recently, a man came to my house and we were talking. We were talking extensively. And he was telling me about a neighbor. His words, not mine. With tears in his eyes. He said, preacher, I want to give you this lady's name. And she has some kids and would like to see them come for VBS. And with tears in his eyes, I promise you, I'm not making it up. With tears in his eyes, he said, preacher. He said, my life doesn't really show that I belong to Jesus. And he said, I would feel like a hypocrite trying to invite her to church. Your life is an important tool. But friend, it will not be your life that saves them. It'll be the message of the gospel. It'll be Jesus that saves them. Your life absolutely is an integral part as far as in demonstrating of what it means to be in Christ. He's a new creature, right? So the Bible tells us. So look at this. Verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down. Beautiful picture. They went down. Philip and this eunuch, this Ethiopian man. They went down both into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. Biblical baptism is not sprinkling. You don't get baptism out of being sprinkled. Baptism means to immerse. And he takes him down into the water and he baptizes that man. You say, preacher, why did he baptize him? So he could be saved? No. He baptized him because he indeed identified with Jesus. He believed in Jesus. God changed his life. God saved him. And he wasn't ashamed about it. He wanted everybody to know that he identified with Christ. He said, pastor, I'm not Philip. You're right. You're just filling your name. I'm just Tracy. No, you're pastor. Don't say Tracy from the pulpit. I had the name Tracy long before I had the name pastor. Yes, there is an office, and it's a respected office, and we understand that. To some, I'm Tracy. To some, I'm pastor, sure, but I was a drywaller. And I've told you this before, you know how God reaches drywallers with the gospel? He saves a drywaller. And that drywaller should then be a witness and tell other drywallers about Jesus. You remember the Nextel phones? Remember, me and Neil used to have them, Rhonda. Bill used to love it. We had those Nextel two-way phones. And on a Nextel phone, sitting at Home Depot parking lot, by close to John R., I witnessed to a contractor friend of mine through a Nextel phone. I'm nothing special, but I was a drywaller. What's God's best often? What is God's best way of seeing construction workers get saved? He'll save a construction worker. What's God's way of getting, filling the occupations, getting an engineer saved. He saves an engineer, and that engineer becomes a witness. What's God's best way of reaching police officers with the gospel? He He puts a Christian police officer in authority. I met one of the young men that's a police officer, Warren. He was in Home Depot today. And we struck up a conversation. I said, sir, thank you, man, for what you do. We really appreciate that. And I said, hey, tell Lieutenant Clesio I said hello. He goes, he's my lieutenant. And we talked for a few minutes. And, you know, he didn't say a bad word about you, Brother Steve, and I was thankful for that. But you know, I mean, honestly, in all seriousness, God loves to bring people together, to reach people for Christ. He loves doing that. I mean, military guys, what's God's way of reaching people in the military? What's one of the ways God often does that, to reach military people? He gets military people saved, they get a fire for Jesus, and then they start telling other military people about Christ. And on 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 we go. Students, what's one of God's best ways of reaching college students? He saves a college student, and they get fired up about Jesus, and they take Jesus back to their colleges and back to their dorm rooms, and they start being a witness, and they start telling people about Jesus. God is an amazing God. So again, when the question is asked, when, preacher, should I share the gospel? I hope you remember these three words. Share it with anyone. Don't be belligerent. Don't get in a shouting match. Don't be argumentative. Use tact to make contact with people. Share it with anyone. Share it anywhere. On an airplane, in a taxi cab, in an Uber vehicle, at a ball game, at a Home Depot, at a barbershop, at a grocery line, catering, military, police departments, pizza shops, on and on and on we could go. In the business world, share Jesus with anyone. Share him with anyone. Why? Because everyone needs Christ. Share him anywhere. Share him anytime. See, preacher, yeah, but there's a time and a place for everything. Well, with Jesus, there's always a time and a place. He is the time and the place. Anywhere you go, everywhere you go, take him with you. Unapologetically, take him with you. Look for opportunities. Next week, I'm going to talk about the importance of your testimony and trying to get your testimony down to about 100-word story to speed it up so you can share that testimony in a brief setting. What's the point, preacher? The point is this. If you're here without Jesus, friend, please don't leave this room without repenting and trusting Christ your Savior. So, preacher, it's a Wednesday night. I got saved on a Wednesday night. You know that, right? I was saved on a Wednesday night just like this. Maybe tonight you need to ask God to save you, repent, and believe the gospel to the saving of your soul. Maybe you are saying, preacher, I know the Lord is my Savior, but I'll be honest, I've never ever been someone that really was a soul winner. I've never been somebody that really shared my faith. Why not now? Why not start now? Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Ryan's going to come and lead us. And if you need to respond to the message that's been preached, the Word of God, if the Holy Spirit of God has kind of arrested your heart with something and you'd like to respond, we give you an opportunity. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar. Maybe some things are on your heart to pray about. Again, we encourage you to respond to that. Maybe you're nice to pastor. I've got people in my heart that really, I just really need to be more intentional.